The story of Jesus' birth has a parallel story. It is the birth of John to Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, and husband Zechariah. When Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, she was told that Elizabeth, though too old to bear children, was pregnant. John, who became known as John the Baptist, was this child. In John's gospel, we experience not a retelling of the events of the birth, but of the coming of Jesus through the proclamation of John, who is telling the light of Christ. Please rise in the body or spirit for reading of the scripture. There is a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.'" The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving Lord, I commit this time to you as I commit my heart, and I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, this worshiping body, will be acceptable in your sight. We praise you, God, in all things. Amen. So 53 years ago, something happened that was pretty monumental, and some of you who are older might remember that. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was released, right? Right? For those of you that grew up on Rudolph, who grew up on Rudolph watching it on the one time it was on TV, right? You had to carve out your time, right? And you couldn't miss it because there was no VCR, and there was no DVR, and there was no video or anything, right? Remember those days? Yep. And if you missed it, you had to wait a whole nother year to see Rudolph, right? It was a great thing. All of those Christmas specials were like that. Well, our family always did carve out some time, and I loved watching it. It's such a neat little story. But I really feel sorry for poor Rudolph and poor Hermie, who are kind of the misfits in the stories, and they're different from their peers. In fact, it's actually a story of bullying, isn't it? Poor Rudolph and the other elves, right? If we look at it now, I mean, the 60s, it was different, but we look at it now and we think, boy, God, they're really bullying him a lot. But because of their differences, Rudolph and Hermie decide to venture out on their own in search of a place where they were not judged and where their uniqueness would be valued. You know, Rudolph's red nose and Hermie wanting to be a dentist. And so they end up at the Island of Misfit Toys, but they soon discover they're not allowed to stay because they're living creatures and they need to go live into who they were created to be, and they have to go back to their lives. And so I'm going to bless you today with a clip from Rudolph. And in this, we see Hermie being confronted by the head elf, who is appalled at him not wanting to make toys. So.
Now, aside from the abominable, business goes on as usual. And soon, it is right before Christmas. And everybody is getting ready for that big, big sleigh ride on the night of the 24th, Christmas Eve. You see, all the toys Santa brings are made by these elves. Seems elves have that certain knack for toy making. All except for this one misfit.
Hermie! Aren't you finished painting that yet? There's a pile up a mile wide behind you. What's eating you, boy?
Not happy in my work, I guess.
What?
I just don't like to make toys.
No, well, if that's all. What? You don't like to make toys?
No.
Hermie doesn't like to make toys.
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 Toys? Shame on you.
Do you mind telling me what you do want to do?
Well, sir, someday I'd like to be a dentist.
A dentist?
Well, we need one up here. I've been studying. It's fascinating. You've no idea. Molars and bicuspids and incisors.
Now, listen, you. You're an elf, and elves make toys. Now, get to work. 10 minutes break. Not for you. Finish the job, or you're fired.
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't fire me, I quit. Seems I don't fit in.
You know that Hermie and Rudolph eventually find their place in the Christmas story of Rudolph and eventually fit in a way being themselves. But it doesn't come without a little bit of hardship for them and a lot of intentionality and facing up to who they are. I showed that because today's scripture is about John, who was as Alex said, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he was the cousin to Jesus. And he had a role. He was born to a mother who was thought to be beyond childbearing years, in order to do this most important thing. And so he spent his adulthood preaching and in the desert and baptizing in the Jordan River. And John came for the sole purpose of preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He's about 6 months older than Jesus. They were cousins. And he has set about preparing the world, preparing this area for the coming of Christ. In our passage that was read today, we find that the religious leaders were questioning John because they had read in the Old Testament about the promised Messiah. In fact, it's throughout the whole Old Testament. The prophets talk about it, the coming of the Messiah, the one who would save. And so they kept asking, is it time now? And is this John guy, is he the Messiah? And they wondered and they asked. And in John's gospel, at the beginning of the gospel of John, we find that John is truly talking about the Messiah's arrival. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I always like to tell my confirmation kids, it's a capital W. And so really, it's actually a name. And the name is who? Jesus. So the Word, capital W, Word, became flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory and the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So this is our birth story in the Gospel of John about Jesus, except for that we're using some other language to make that happen. You see, God had had timed everything out to perfection and had placed the right people in the right places at the right time in order to help God lay out and fulfill God's plan. Before God created anything, the Gospel of John tells us, God had a plan, and the plan was in the Word, capital W, Word. And so before anything was made, before anything was created, Jesus was in relationship with God because Jesus is God. And God had laid out this plan of creating people to be in relationship with God. Us, we, God's people. And then God had this plan to make the Word, capital W, Word, flesh and live among us. And so Jesus' birth is part of God's plan. That Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, part of God's plan. The prophets talked about it. And so when John comes onto the scene, and we don't know much more about John except for that Elizabeth is pregnant with John, and then we meet John in the Gospel of John, living out in the desert and preaching and teaching. And so we find John living up to John's potential, living into his what he was created to do, and becoming part of God's divine plan for the Messiah coming, for Jesus. And John tells us, Alec read, this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am not the Messiah. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way for the Lord,' just as the prophet Isaiah said." John's role, John's gift, what he was created to do, was to make the way straight for the Lord. He was preaching and teaching about the Messiah so that people could prepare their hearts. Making the way straight is about like getting our lives in order to receive the Christ child, to receive Jesus into our hearts. And so he was making the way straight. He was saying, gotta stop doing this stuff that separates you from God, and you gotta get straight in line with God so that you can be prepared for Jesus to come into you. Because Jesus was the Savior of the world and part of this divine plan for salvation that God had for Jesus. Each one of us was created to be a part of God's divine plan. Not just John, not just Jesus, but we were all created to be a part of God's divine plan. And we can do that as we prepare the ways for others to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Every time our children sing in worship, every time they go to Sunday school, every time we share Bible stories with them and talk about the amazing things that God has done in our lives, we are preparing our young people, our youth, our adults, we're preparing one another for that relationship with Jesus Christ. When I returned to the pulpit and to ministry here in Tipton after Dale's death, I have to say that I questioned my call and I questioned my gifts. And I wondered if I could do this. And I wondered if the gifts that I had were the gifts that were needed here at First Church in Tipton. And when I came back, I still am carrying a lot of grief. And I was carrying a lot of grief alongside the gifts that God had given me. And I wondered. And on December 3rd, I got my answer. It was the day, if you were here, it was the day that we confirmed 12 young people in worship. And prior to the worship service, I stood in my office, and hanging behind my door was my clergy robe. And I looked at my clergy robe, and I wondered, and I almost like looked at my robe in awe. And I finally said, "Hello, old friend. I'm glad to see you." And when I put it on, I could tell that God had put God's mantle on me in putting my robe back on me. And that indeed, as I looked in the mirror, I possessed the gifts that God has called me to use here in Tipton. Gifts of compassion and deep faith, of understanding of young people and empathy for those who are hurting. And gifts of administration and insightfulness for people's needs. When I put my robe on December 3rd, all of that came back to me. My call, my gifts for ministry came in the putting on of my robe. These are the gifts of who I am, who I was created to be, regardless of constraints and expectations that others might have. What you see is what you get. The gifts I have are the gifts that I've been given. And right now, God is calling me to use those here at Tipton. And so, amid the tears, which they're starting to well up right now, I apologize, and the laughter and an extreme love for the Lord, I stand before you being who I was created to be. That's a gift for me, and you all have a gift. Each of us has a gift that is uniquely you and that God wants you to use in order to prepare the way for people to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was tasked with this. The Apostle Paul was also, and many, many people through the centuries have been tasked with using their gifts to prepare the way for the Lord. My friends, how are you using your gifts to prepare the way for others? As a parent, as a grandparent, as a friend, as a worshiper, how are you using your gifts to prepare others to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with giving your heart to Jesus and letting Jesus then guide your steps, guide who you are, guide the way you live your life. My friends, do you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the first step. Do you really believe that the little baby born in Bethlehem in the manger was born to save the world, that eventually would preach and teach and die and be born again, be raised again? Do you believe that that happened? And then if you do, then give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because I don't want you to continue waiting. I don't want you to wait to give your heart to Jesus. It's important to do it now and to let God use your gifts once he has your heart. Jesus wants our hearts today. Jesus wants our hearts now. Be who you were created to be by God. Give more of your life to Jesus Christ and less of your life to yourself. When we live for Christ, it brings fulfillment like nothing else. And it doesn't mean that life isn't going to be hard, because it is. Life is hard. But when Christ is in our corner, when we use our gifts and we start sharing for Christ, we can get through even the hardest things that come our way. In this Advent season, we have waited. Some of that waiting for some has been anxious, rushing around trying to make a holly jolly Christmas. For some of us, it's been with your head bent in grief. That's me. Busy, grieving, joyful, whatever it is, let Christ's joy come into your heart and help you overcome sorrow, help you overcome stress, help you overcome hardship, and let you experience the peace of Christmas as you open yourself to the gifts that God has given you, and you open yourself to how you can prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to be who we are gifted to be. Live into that. Let us pray. Almighty and loving Lord, it's a tough time for some. It's a joyful time for others. But you're with us no matter what. Guide us in our days and help us to prepare others to come into relationship with you. Show us those people who need to know you. Help us to help them know you better, and help us to know you better too. Amen.